welcome to the Thursday Night Brainstorm. Third one in a row, I think. Yeah, we've been showing up.
That just means that I've been showing up.
Yeah, you're here every Thursday. Yeah, but I don't always do it, man. I'm pretty good at not doing shows, man. I'm pretty good at not doing stuff, period.
We're actually getting like a format and an idea of what to do. We're making this into a multinational big fuck off corporation.
Yeah,
a lot of synergy in between the live shows.
A-list celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, no.
That's no shit.
A-list local celebrities.
Fuck yeah.
Where you get Ron from Ron's Market.
Yeah, everybody knows. Dude, I know Ron.
Do you know Ron?
Ron's cool as shit.
Is Ron older?
Ron would totally come on. Ron's like creeping on his 70s, I'm betting.
No way. And he's been hacking meat since
the beginning.
Actually,
I think Ron's in his 70s. He could out-golf me any day of the week, dude. Ron's a killer golfer. Got like 3 handicap.
Oh, fucking Ron's. Dude, he's famous because everybody says he's got good stuff. I hear he's got fair prices. He's a nice guy, I guess.
He is.
He's been hacking meat in Holcomb since the get-go. So praise be to him, man. Yeah, anyway, welcome to... What's today's date, bud?
I think it's the 25th?
26th. Close
26?
26.
Why'd you ask me if you knew, Rain Man?
I had to look just now. I had to look it up. I was hoping you knew. I don't ever know sometimes. Well, I have a job now where I have to write the date a few times a day.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of getting into it, but still not really, dude.
Every time I look at my phone, it tells me the date, and I still don't give a shit.
Dude, I almost dropped my phone in the shitter today, dude. I had, like, we have a rack above our... You've seen our shitter.
Yeah.
And I took a shower, and I went to grab it. And I've had smartphones for, like, creeping on 3 years, probably, and I've not had a broken screen, nothing, knock on wood. But it happened, dude. I went to grab it, and it went through, like, the metal... It went right to the shitter, dude, and I fucking, like, slapped. Dude, it was, like, kind of scared me how I was almost like my precious, dude. I was like, no. And, like, I slapped it, and then it landed, like, on the toilet seat. And then it was going in, and I hit it again, and it, like, flew and hit the fucking, like, sink. And then it landed on, like, the shitter cleaner brush, and it's the one that was here when we moved in. And I was just like, oh, no.
It probably survived Ian and Mary and...
And it looks like it's seen some turds, dude. It's just, it's not. And I'm sure I've used it, dude. You've seen my fucking.
But you need it.
You've seen my fecal art, dude.
That thing is a true used utensil.
It's disgusting. But anyway, the phone landed on, dude. So I immediately picked up the phone, cleaned her up, threw the fucking case in the garbage. Nah, but yeah, it's gross, man. But yeah, my first fucking almost iPhone catastrophe.
Well, it sounded like it was averted very well. You can still move. You got the moves. You got the reflexes.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. Fucking, I'm 30 years old, and I don't know what it is, but when people knock on my door and I don't know they're coming over, I get scared. Like, I don't know, and I creep to a window or I creep to the door, and I peek outside, and if it's somebody I don't know, I generally won't answer. And today it happened. I was fucking hanging out in my room, and somebody knocks on the door like a cop, dude. So I was like, immediately, like, what the hell, you know? So I didn't think it was a cop. I thought somebody wanted to, like, hurt me. They were like, oh, I'm pissed at you, dude. And I was like, what the hell? And I look out the window, and it's just like 40-year-old dude with a mustache and a hat on. I was like, what the fuck is this about? So I didn't answer the door. Turns out he's in a pickup truck selling steaks.
Selling steaks.
He's selling steaks,
dude. The first thing that popped into my mind.
God damn, dude, you got to.
From Omaha Steak Company selling steaks.
Dude, I don't know, man. Do you trust the whole meat in a wagon, dude?
No, fuck no. Not when
is it
you
gross?
Not when you live where it all comes from. Like, what it is meat that goes out, you know, gets processed just like meat around here, but then gets, like, vacuum packaged, stuffed into a back of a fucking pickup truck. And then trotted around here when it all originated from, you know, within 25 miles of here anyway. So why not just get it when it's here? Visit Ron's Market.
Ron would bitch slap a fucking meat hawk, dude. First off, if you're 30 years old and you have a mustache and you wear a hat, don't knock on my door if you don't know me, dude, because it freaks me out, dude. I got petrified. I thought immediately, I was like, man, like.
He had a hat and a mustache?
Yeah, dude.
So
and he probably wasn't 40. It's probably like 36.
Not hipster? Not hipster?
No, dude. He looked like somebody's
like
dad. I mean, I'm not knocking the profession, dude. I'm sure it's glorious, dude.
It is not a noble profession, dude.
You think it's gross?
They're just like the kind of the high-functioning cokeheads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No good. But, yeah, it freaks me out when people knock on my door. And fucking tonight's first guest, what is their fucking band called, dude? Because they had a couple names.
Pause upon a breath now.
But it was Axis first, right? Or was it Pause Upon a Breath, then it turned to Axis?
Then it was, no. It was Axis, then Pause Upon a Breath. But before Axis, it was something else.
They have a lot of band. They're at that age where you can't. It's cool to not settle on a band name.
It's like, no, you don't want to imprinted. Like, a band name is what nails you down in your style.
Yeah, they're youngsters, dude. But they came over a couple nights ago to talk about doing some shows and stuff. And
they
plus
loud.
They're the loudest band in Garden City.
Fuck yeah,
dude. Their fucking PA is like, I guess it's like the old PA from the Cotillion. So it's like big enough to run a fucking like.
Like 1,500
that bands tour through, yeah. You know, like when they're in town, it's fucking huge and ridiculous, dude. And I went and saw it, and they have like this gnarly ass fucking practice space in a layer. I won't say anything about it because I don't want people to steal their shit. But they have a fucking layer. It's huge, like bigger. It's huge. It's like basically a warehouse that's empty with a fucking club PA.
It's like in an old salt mine.
It's like if you had that shit when you were like they're like 18, I think. If you had that shit when you were 18, dude. Like, you know, pussy could probably wait. If I would have had, like, cool shit to jam on back then, dude, I probably would have done that over trying to finger chubby girls, man.
I don't know. There's time for both.
I don't know, man. But, yeah, we're gonna bring those dudes on here in just a second. We got a good show for you tonight. Who's coming on at 10? What's his name, dude?
Oh, we got Kevin Hodgkinson.
Kevin Hodgkinson. This guy's like a fucking legend in Garden City right now. I mean, I'm just calling him that right now. But he's the guy at the bar that tells you stories and then laughs after all of his stories. And I guess he has poems, but he's a delightful fellow, but he's funny. Like, he's authentically just...
Kevin's... You'll never meet
funny.
Anybody
an
else like Kevin.
Man. He, like, every time I see that guy, I'm just like, is this guy for real, man? And he's like,
oh,
yeah. He is. All right, cool. Well, this is the Thursday Night Brainstorm. We'll be right back with whatever this band's called now. We're going to find out.
See the tears on my pillow on the night of Halloween. How do I tell a fairy princess that she really is a queen? And Super Mario that he's a little too much like Daddy. How do I prepare him for the crazy road that he'll be traveling? Cause Daddy's just a happy phone call. And who Mom can call when you draw the last straw? See them on vacation on occasion. Split time with the grand relations. Spend 2 weeks a year with Dad. The other 50 year with Jason.
You are the best of dads. You are mine.
Welcome back to the broadcast. We're here with, what the fuck is your band called now, man?
Our band is called Pestilence in the Flesh, comprised of former members of Your Fake Reflection.
That's the first
right,
one.
That's the first one.
Sean, get them going.
Exis for a short while. And then we had another kind of genre change and fired a few members, and then we were Pause Upon a Breath.
Jesus, I remember all of these, man.
And then... And then we had one last change of heart recently, decided to go for a more metal title.
Yeah.
Our name is now Pestilence in the Flesh, and we're hard as fuck.
Okay, and who are you, man?
I am Noah McCallum, the vocalist.
I'm Alex Wilkin, I play guitar.
And you guys have a fucking lair. We won't say any... Don't say where it is, dude.
It's a lair.
People be robbing people and shit, dude. They'll just write down everything. So no landmarks. But you guys have like a pretty fucking sweet setup. You guys are pretty young, right?
We met somebody that's been really cool to us, and it's been really helpful. We got a nice setup that we can set up all of our PA equipment and band stuff.
And he didn't like charge you or anything? He's just like fucking...
Well, we're going to pay him back with electricity, but I mean, like,
But he's not like a stickler. He's not like using you. He's like, hey, yeah, you can chill out here. That's cool.
Yeah,
man.
He even talked about having us do hard labor and stuff, but he hasn't wanted us to yet, so he's just been real freaking cool.
That's sweet, man. So, like, how long have you guys had this layer? Man, it's pretty cool to have something like that cool. And
dude.
I guess we could set the stage a little bit. You have a club-sized PA in a warehouse, basically.
It was actually part of the former array at the Cotillion, so it was in a large venue.
I saw it and you wouldn't show me it last night, dude. And that's like the first. I thought maybe, you know, because like people oversell shit all the time. Like I tell people this show's good all the time, man.
Yeah,
people pull smoke up your ass. So you guys are like, oh, we have a big PA, and I was like, oh, okay. But like the fucking cabs on that thing, dude. It's like almost they're so big that it's funny. Like, they're, like, really fat and, like, wide and shit. It's just like, why do you need this much fucking power, man?
Just one big block of
it is,
badass.
Dude. And they're white, and it says Exus. Now, you guys got to fucking, you guys got to sit still, man. You're going to fucking, you should just tag all of your past band names.
What that is we actually started getting a business together,
Ripping
out our system, and The business's name is Exus Sound Reinforcement System.
Okay. Because you guys got to get into that, man. You guys,
that sounds
if you guys have that PA.
Yeah.
Like, just a little bit of, like, is there a cult involved?
Were you guys at religiously, man? You guys bring that up in your music, or you leave God out of it, man?
We talk about it a lot at school.
Really?
Yeah.
You're allowed to?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you guys are like in college,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, we're a lot of philosophy classes and stuff like that. You know, way to sound like way fucking pretentious, but it's still a pretty badass fucking class.
So you're breaking boundaries here. Most people that are listening right now are like, these guys have a warehouse with a PA. These guys don't go to college.
These guys are pricks.
These guys are fucking losers. But you guys are like full-time students. And you guys are said like doing a play or something? Are you guys gonna do the play, or are you guys just like building shit for
the world? Dude, we're doing everything. We're actually the set designers, technical
director.
We're
in the play, both of us. I have a lead role. We're hired to build the sets.
I got crushed by a wagon.
You guys are
today.
Playing in the play?
Yeah, I have like four parts, and he's a principal role.
The play is Les Mis, by the way.
No shit, and this is like a college production.
Yeah. Looking good.
How do you guys get the parts, man? Let's be honest, man.
We're in classes.
You guys have a history of like older white
tuition.
Dudes doing you favors. What are you guys doing, man?
Dude,
what are you guys doing, right?
We're running on luck and trying to.
That's cool. You guys
running.
Like you get into acting and shit. Like
yes,
really.
That's what we're. I'm a theater major. I'm
really,
done.
Like that's what your like main thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Drama.
That's fucking. Yeah, you're not like nervous to fucking. You ever done like any film work or anything? Just like.
We're actually looking too. There's some dude that randomly popped out of nowhere with video stuff and video software saying he wanted us to do
what kind of video though, dude?
He wants an action flick.
Action flick?
That.
Yeah. My buddy took a Craigslist job like that, and they fucking got there, and the guy's like, "I just want you all to sit next to each other and jerk off." And they're like, "What?" He's like, "You don't have to touch each other.
Dude.
Just jerk off.
Cool.
You gotta
he's
be careful,
try
man.
To put something
that's
in your chocolate pockets. What are you gonna do?"
You guys are young guys, man. You gotta be careful. There's a lot of people out there gonna take advantage of you, man.
Just don't look him in the eye.
Don't do any deals with Sean over here, man. He's got a history.
Anything that this guy says, you don't listen to. We'll talk afterwards.
Sean's
I can make
on
you
the
a
air
lot
with
of
a
money.
Pseudonym. That's not his real name because we're so close to a school. It's fucked up.
Can't be. I'm on lists. There are lists.
Hey.
I'm on them. Listen, man. That's all that we need to visit on that subject. Next.
Yeah. You're an A-lister, man. Sure, for real. So like, what's the plan, man? You guys, how old are you guys? You're in college.
17.
Yep.
How are
18.
You 17 in college?
We decided to take
the detour.
I'd say a detour.
Yeah.
And skipped 2 years of high school and decided, fuck it.
I think that's kind of a smart thing to do, especially
really
these days.
Dude, I'm going to be having an associate's degree just a semester after my peers are getting out of high school.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. That's good because I think the only thing you're going to be robbed of is like a generic high school experience. Like, I fingered a girl on prom night with my best gal. Like, that. Like I think that's all high school is really sold as. I don't think you learn like a whole lot from grade 9 to 12. Like, it's just kind of like, hey, have fun, finger people.
I
and
remember
fucking...
it as 4 years of gang fights and dumpster babies.
Well, yeah, but you went to the hard squad, not the GC.
It's like 4 years of teen pregnancy and fucking gangbangers, you know, YOLO shirts, fucking just, it's pretty bad around here.
Hey, a lot more rumors and all that.
Yeah, a lot of rumors, but no one ever really fucked.
Did you guys get to go to the new school, or are you guys just?
I went for a week and
really?
I said I'm out.
Yeah, the new school is pretty much the decision. Like we were just like we're getting the fuck out of here. We liked the old school just because of its spirit and just it was just cool. It had a legacy.
The
new
old school's
school
is like very ominous, if that's the right word.
The new school
is like a prison, dude.
Yeah, that's exactly how we saw
architecture.
It.
Beautiful architecture.
You're joking, right? No, I mean it looks it's nice looking as far as like a big fucking it's like a it is though. I don't know what a prison looks like per se. Like, to
that's
like,
how I'd make it.
But I think what makes it look like a prison is the fact that, like, the land around, like, you know, you go down a fucking Campus Street or Mary Street, and it's just like a fucking
wire on that
nine
bitch.
City
yeah.
blocks of just like, don't come in here. Like, this is, you know,
one way in, one way out. Guarded,
like, you will be
fucking
on fucking
Street.
Glenn Beck show if you come to the school unannounced. You know, like,
the building's way the fuck back there. Like, look at me.
Yeah.
This is where you go if you're bad,
some model,
or if you're a high schooler.
This
so you
will
guys
be
went to school
life.
Like you guys went to school like really far after 9/11. Like, I don't did things change much after like right after 9/11? I was out, I guess.
I was in college.
I actually remember 9/11 very well because that's my dad's birthday.
Oh yeah.
And yeah,
poor
fucking
dad, man. He's just like,
just
hey,
right
never mind.
Morning. Yeah, he's just like he's just got to look at the TV on his birthday every day, just like think like no one's gonna remember my birthday today. It's 9/11.
Yeah,
how about
nobody's
prepare?
Nobody's looking forward to my birthday. That's
shit.
Shit.
Yeah, but actually things have changed a lot.
How old
I mean,
were you when 9/11 happened, dude?
I
was like,
dude, take us back. Regale us.
I was
going to
say like 5.
Yeah,
No way.
Like, I was like 5 or 6.
No, you
man.
Weren't.
Maybe
dude,
I was. I
makes
don't
you
know.
Feel fucking old.
Wait, are you good at math, man?
I know.
What year is that, 2000?
I asked my boss.
I did not have passed my compass test in math, so I'm not in any math classes.
Yeah. You're 5 years old, 9/11, 5 years old. So, like, you didn't ever
something
know
like
America
that.
Is the badass. Like, I mean, not really. You probably don't remember, like, being like, man, America's kick-ass. Because ever since 9/11, it's just been kind of like this gradual, just like, man, this place kind of sucks.
I remember,
like,
I remember being in high school debate, and the answer to every argument was, no, we're just going to fucking fix that. That's just what America does. You guys don't remember those times where we're just like, yeah, we can just do whatever the fuck we want, really.
Yeah, man.
We didn't owe China a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, we've done whatever the fuck we want, and that's part of why we
well,
because
that's
now.
What I've wondered, because they always say that the generations that come after you are, like, you know, wilder and different and stuff. Fucking, is the high school, like, what was high school like for you guys in your experience? Is it like what you would see on fucking Project X, that
you know,
fucking party movie? Like,
I probably had a more untraditional high school experience.
Well, okay, but
say,
like without sending
but,
anybody to jail, like
man,
is there really like a massive like sex, drugs, fucking like everything that is, you know, is there a problem like that?
Because there's sure
or is it just
not
like
nearly
just a
as
few
much
chicks?
As there used to be. It's really people have become quite
lame
pussy.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys are an odd generation. Not you guys. I think you guys turned out all right. But there's like some fucking weird kids that like.
Yeah.
You guys
dude.
Heard of bronies?
No.
Oh,
they're
God.
Like they're
yeah,
like dudes that are your age that like the show
like,
My Little Pony.
What?
They're a step
and they're like we're bronies. Yeah,
why do you even gotta make a title for that?
I mean, no,
God.
I mean, well, so you can punch them. So you can.
Oh,
assume.
It gives. So if you find a brony, it gives you the right.
I don't know, man, because if you hit one brony, you got a whole bunch of ponies on his back, dude.
Oh yeah,
they roll
right.
deep, and then you have
you're
like
right.
the fucking kids that
their family, their
that
gang.
Date the anime body pillows.
Dang.
Like, their date, like, it's not even a joke. Like, they post pictures, like, Facebook, like, this
oh,
is my chick.
Oh, time.
Yeah, they're like, kids are fucking pillows, dude. Your generation's weird, man. You guys didn't have a chance, though. You guys had the internet.
I was 12, the first pussy I ever saw in a stolen penthouse.
Yeah, I mean, too, I was probably, like, 11. I saw a pussy in a magazine, and it made my stomach hurt, because it was like, what the
fuck?
I was weird. I was like 12
awesome.
Years old, and I saw, because I had seen, like, the hair. But this, you know, I saw one that was open, and I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with this chick, dude? Like, I thought it was just like a hairy patch.
Is she going to
had
be
no
okay?
idea, dude. I can't imagine being like a 10-year-old kid and
that
watching
like
a fucking gangbang video.
Miss.
Actually, the first pussy I ever saw was on the cover of a porno mag that someone had left in the basement of my Sunday school teacher's house.
That's how
fantastic.
Porn happens, dude.
That's
and I don't know if that's like the devil
happen.
Doing the work, but have you ever noticed that... Usually the first time you ever see porn, it's by shit you find, and it's usually in a dumpster. Like, our porn companies just going around neighborhoods just, like, throwing fucking,
yeah.
fucking,
oh,
like, ah,
yeah,
here's
yeah.
a three chicks, one chick, whatever, dude. Like, fucking throw it in there. Because, like, kid, I found porn in a dumpster.
I found porn in a dumpster. First porn we ever looked at was out of a dumpster.
You got, it's weird, man. It's fucking weird. So anyway.
I have a very bad memory, man. I have no idea.
Well, yeah, dude, because you've been fucking on the internet since you were 6 years old, but you didn't have a chance, bro. You've seen it all, man. You might as well have gone to war, man.
That's what's up.
My 11-year-old mind couldn't handle
that.
Fucking half
well,
the shit.
Well,
yeah,
no,
you
can't get you kids off anymore, because I remember, like, a Fredericks of Hollywood was all it took for me for, like, 3 years. Like, a little
just
magazine that we got in the mail with a bunch of lingerie and shit.
I used to jerk off to, like, Showtime and HBO. Still
oh, yeah.
can, because I remember,
we
like...
We did Scrambled Cinemax.
Yeah,
you could still make out a nipple. That's all you fucking needed.
Oh my god.
You know, tough, man. It is what it is. So you guys are gonna, you guys are in a band. You're doing a play. Is this helping out? In like the, are you guys like dating chicks and stuff? Are you gonna be single?
I'm single right now.
Single to mingle. Yeah. This guy over here probably got a girlfriend, huh?
Yeah.
You don't want to talk about her on the radio. Yeah. She's like, God damn, now you put me on blast. Yeah. Everybody knows I got a girlfriend.
I don't got a girlfriend. I just know a girl.
No, he's fucking
really
like, man, they're both gonna be mad.
No, I'm just gonna make one up real quick.
Oh, I shouldn't.
I can edit that part out, dude. You know, fuck it, right?
Cool.
I don't have a girlfriend. I just got this girl that's crying right now that she heard that.
You're good, dude. Nobody listens to this show, man.
I feel pretty safe.
Yeah, you're good, man. My mom might hear it. I don't know. She's probably.
I'll probably listen to it later. And
I told my mom not to listen to this show.
I was like, whoa, my voice sounds so fucking gay over a microphone.
Girls will like it, though, man, dude. Like, girls that are in, like, there to hang out and, like, fucking want to go see a band and shit, which that doesn't fucking happen, dude. Like, you guys kind of got robbed of the Garden City experience. Like, it's not the fucking, you know, back in the day, and I even caught the ass end of it. I didn't, the first, like the daily grind days, and even before that, I used to go off here. And, like, the first Garden City show I ever played at was at the Pond, and there was probably 300 to 400 kids there. And, like, that was, and I had never played in front of that many people, and I was just like, what the fuck is this place? And it's really sad to see the Garden is just like, we did that show Tuesday night, dude, and, like, no.
Yeah,
it didn't go well, man.
Yeah,
like,
dude. I saw, my parents got this poster of one of my dad's old gigs. I think it was at the Pond. I'm not sure, though. But then I compared that poster from way back in the day to a Pink Floyd poster, and I realized my dad was getting paid, like, twice as much as Pink Floyd was getting paid to go to their concert.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And then I look like we're getting paid like maybe like what, like $100 to play anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
if you're
lucky.
$5 to get in. It's like this stuff is like you gotta get.
If you're
picky.
Getting,
you're gonna
if you're getting
there,
like $100,
the hell out. There's a real concert going on.
Like if you're getting $100 guaranteed, that's because like the bar owner's nice. And shout out to fucking Four Winds.
Yeah,
we did not have a fucking huge crowd. They did all right. I mean, I don't think it was like awful, but we did
it
all
was,
right.
It was one of those fucking awesome shows that you got to see with like 20.
Yeah,
other
they
people.
Were good, dude. And I was, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of skeptical because their video kind of sells them short.
Their video's their worst song.
Yeah, it's not that great of a song, and it's kind of ridiculous. And you're like, is this
ridiculous.
A joke band?
Old school thrasher.
Exactly, dude. So you're just like, okay.
Yeah, the drums are.
But you know, like they fucking brought it, dude. Like they were professional. They everybody shredded. The guitar player was fucking stupid, dude. And it was a good show. And those who were there like really fucking enjoyed it. But like, it's just crazy to see Garden City has dwindled into that. And you actually hit me up the other day on Facebook. That's kind of why you got with me. You were saying you wanted to talk about making the scene better. He's always preaching this. I think I have given up.
We have to.
Like, I don't. I can ask Sean. My thing is like.
But it's up to you
dead.
Guys because we are fucking, by definition, in our 30s, not cool enough
well,
to fucking
why doesn't
this,
your why don't kids your age go to shows, man? Like, you're around these people. Why do they not go to shows? Like, what are the reasons you think? It's just not
television.
Cool anymore? Or?
Just pop. I think popular music, you know, they've been used to just getting all the hits just force-fed to them, you know? They don't have to go out to find good music. They have no content.
And the radio has completely, you know, stripped down rock and roll. Like, you know, now no, there's no such thing as a guitarist anymore. It's like, oh, he's got a fucking keyboard that's like
I think
a sampler,
it's the,
you
copy
know?
And paste on his laptop.
Exactly.
I think it's the exact opposite. It's that there wasn't good music, you know, at all on the radio, but the radio was your only option back in our day. Like, now kids can get on the internet, download the whole album
of but are
any
they,
fucking
though?
Crazy band.
Like, if you think about, not even kids, you think about, like coworkers or people you interact with. Like, say you go to the store, say you go to a busy store like Walmart. Like, the majority of the people you walk past and even interact with that day probably don't listen to music. They probably don't put that much time and effort a week into like finding new music. Most people, like, not most people, but a lot of people just they don't get it, like, you know. And that's why, like, it's good for, you know, I mean, if you're a musician, you get it because it feeds you, you know. It's like, you guys, I saw you guys playing last night, man. You guys were having fun. You guys were feeling that shit, you know. Like, we wrote some fucking songs, and you guys sounded good, by the way.
Thanks,
and you know, it's like, and that was fun. That was like, it was like a drug to you almost. Like, it was, you know, it was like, you guys were feeling that shit.
I need
and like,
my fix every now and then, man.
You're right, man. People are just dumbed down to the point where they just think music is you turn on 98.1 and listen to, like, Justin Bieber and stuff. And I don't think people are, that's why I'm just very negative about it. I don't think it can be saved. I hope it can, but, like, I don't know, man.
I I don't know. I mean, I think it's like Lil Wayne, Miley Cyrus. Those people are fucking idols these days.
Yeah, dude.
It's just a disappointment, man. All I got to say is, if you find someone who's into the scene, just fucking reach out and grab them, dude, because I've met some really fucking real people in this town. And they still
just
the people
don't
that
know
come about
out
the
are
shows.
Awesome.
Yeah, they still just don't know about the shows, and that'll be a way to fucking help.
The second I knew it was over, because I used to see these huge shows here, the second I knew it was over is we'd throw it like, you guys played that Whiskey Wednesday show with us. And it was a good time. Everybody had a good time.
Way back when.
But there was probably like maybe 100, maybe 100, maybe like 70 to 100 people there throughout the whole night. And that was a successful event for us. Like, you know, we were like, okay, that wasn't bad. We didn't owe Lance money. Like, awesome, you know, like, cool. But that fucking, I went there like 4 days later on a Saturday or a Friday night. And you couldn't get in, and we had to call Lance to let us in the back door. And it was like a fucking – I forgot I was in Garden City, dude. I was drunk as shit, and it was a fucking club. There was just like a million people in the Fulton Street. And I was like, man, rock and roll's dead. I mean, it made me sad.
No, dude, it's always – you guys don't understand. Everything you're talking about right now is how it's always been. There are a certain number of people that don't think about music as deeply as we do. It's like, I don't want to fucking sit there and watch movies that are so deep, like Criterion Collection. But there are some people that are into movies like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, the music that we listen to isn't for those people, you know. But the number of people who are real music nerds have the entire fucking world at their fingertips right now with their computers. So you used to have to go to a live show with a touring band.
Yeah.
Back in the day to see a band like that. Now people
YouTube.
Don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, most of my favorite bands I've never seen live, but I've listened to their records like 1,000 times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess you're right on both fronts. It's just a little, it makes you sad. It makes you sad when it used to be so easy. You could just do a fucking dun-da-dun, here's a song, and people in Garden were like, yeah, you know, and now it's like fucking pulling teeth.
If we keep plugging away, dude, the scene's going to come right back.
We'll try our best.
Minus all of the mind-altering drugs that used to go around. Jesus, there was a lot of acid taken at the shows back in the day, dude. A ridiculous amount.
I've been to some fucking music festivals. There's still a lot of acid going on.
No. It wasn't a music festival. It was like just a show in Garden City.
Just a show in Garden?
Yeah.
Holy shit, that is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, dude. And it was back in the day when I didn't even fucking drink. So I was like, oh, it's cool that you guys are doing that. But, dude, it was
always.
Bad shit.
Bad shit.
Fucking
crazy.
Mid to late 90s, this town was fucking batshit fun.
Well, dude, we're running out of time. Appreciate you guys coming to the show. Since you're here, dude, since you're fucking here, man, we're gonna give you a little bit. Say your band's name one more time, and then what are you guys planning on, man? Don't blow any smoke up. Or what are you guys currently doing right now?
Got
you guys have a
coming up.
You have a big fucking building and a band. Are you guys just like writing music right now and kind of deciding what you want to do? Or
biding
merch
your
is
time.
On the way. I just put in my first down payment for a T-shirt and a logo, and then as soon as that's up, we're planning on recording very soon. As soon as we get some funds in, and just trying to gig around town, you know, talking to you.
Yeah, dude. If you guys can get a van, man, if you guys can get some transportation, it doesn't have to be a good van either, man. As long as it gets you, like, through a year or two, it'll be worth it.
Yep.
But hit up some of these towns around here, man. Like, Sean's right. Like, it's not what it was, but you could definitely do all right. Go play some Eastern Kansas shows. Because you got to think about it, man. You're in the center of, like, you have, you know, Amarillo, Dallas, Oklahoma City, Wichita, Eastern Kansas, Denver.
Yep.
What's north? Like North Platte? Like, is that like the biggest town north? Or Omaha, but that's more Eastern Kansas too.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're not far from places. Austin's not that far. You know, you're not far from places, you know, to play music and shit. So that's what I was telling the other night. I felt like I was, when you guys left, I felt like bad. I was like, man, I think I just like preached to those dudes. They just came in. I just started telling them all this shit. But I was telling my girlfriend,
please,
I was like, I just wanted to help him. Like, don't do this. Don't do this. Because if you do, you'll be 30 living in Garden. Like, don't do this. Like, I just feel like I have high hopes for you guys, man. Hope you guys fucking
like taking in all the information.
Yeah. Wisdom is the application of your knowledge.
Do it, man.
Well,
and
thanks for having us, man. That's
yeah, dude.
Up, dude.
Yeah, man, for sure, man. Thanks for you said you'd listen before. Thanks, man. You're one of the few.
I love it. It's funny as
comments.
Shit.
It's good fun.
It's good stuff. But fucking, do you guys have anything online where people can check, or are you guys kind of not?
I got the
online?
Facebook page up today. We should upload some live videos, and we'll put our drummer's drum off video on.
Okay.
Yeah, he just got out.
Dude, he's pretty good, man.
He's
Like, he's really good, man.
You,
nice guy too,
I'm
man.
I'm gonna forward this video to you, man. Personally, you
do it, man.
Check
I
want to
see. I'll put it on my page, man. I'll promote it for you guys.
Look at the band name Pestilence in the Flesh on Facebook or YouTube.
Is this something
we're
he was
start
in?
Start getting stuff in. Yeah, he was in the drum off. Yeah.
He's really good, man. Like, usually when you meet a drummer, they tell you they're really good, and you're just like, cool. But he was.
Oh yeah.
He reminds me of Josh Ebert from Coheed and Cambria. Not like the same style, but like.
Yeah.
The same fucking he was excited.
The application.
Like he didn't play
yeah,
like he just looks like he just like
shit.
He just looks like he fingered a chick the whole time he's playing. He's like, yeah, dude, he's fucking like stoked, dude. Or like he just found $10 or something, dude.
Yeah, man.
That's
we
what he looks
love
like when he
playing.
Plays, dude.
We all love it, dude. That's
so say your name one more time since you have six band names.
Pestilence in the Flesh.
Pestilence in the Flesh, and we will update you. You guys are going to be playing a show very soon. We're trying to work some shit out. You're listening to Thursday Night Brainstorm. We'll be right back after these words. We had the monitor still going. Kevin Hoskinson. Oh, put that mic in front of him, man. We're screwed up over here. How you doing, bud?
I am doing terrific. Now, as I'm not speaking not too loud, buddy.
Make it where you're comfortable, though, man. You can go ahead, sit down and put Sean, right, help him out. Tell him to put it where like it's about a half inch away from his mouth.
Yeah.
You want it to be like pretty close.
That good, right.
Straight from the diaphragm.
Yeah, yeah, right from the diaphragm. Oh, yeah, it's like my singing days.
and just be comfortable. Okay, so tell us your story, man. Like, I've seen you around town a lot. Where are you from, man?
Truth is that I'm originally from the Massachusetts area, but I say park the car, not park the car.
Okay, and how long did you live there, man?
I was born there. I lived there for the first 4 years of my life, and then I've been living here in the GC area since 82.
Oh, so you're a lifer, man. I was born in 83. I'm Southwest Kansas the whole time.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
How do you like it out here, man?
Oh, I don't mind it. Just that I told myself that every now and then there's times just to move on and stuff, and then just like just relaxing and then just chilling. To be thrilling.
It's one of those towns where you want to leave the whole time you're here, but not bad enough to leave. Like, you just kind of stay.
Yeah, you don't want GC to feel like a whirlpool, and then you want to go to KC.
Right? So, man, you told me you had some comedy. You did some comedy. You have some poems and stuff. We'll get to your poems here in a little bit. We interviewed Noah in the last hour. You know Kevin from some productions and stuff. Give us a little bit of a – tell us about it, man.
It was funny as shit when he was a corpse for a whole play and he just sat in a wheelchair and they wheeled him around and they like flew during part of it or something, like they had him up on something. He's just an all around fucking great guy, you know, he's funny.
Did you what did you audition for on that play where you played the corpse?
Well, what happened was the director, to tell you the truth, Ryan Peterson, he specifically cast me as that role. So.
Okay, and you're playing a dead guy.
Dead corpse.
Talk about typecasting.
The real guy is the character's name is Tony Hendon.
Okay.
And like it really matters. It's like I did the play like almost like 4 years ago. Man.
Right. Do you in like any of the new productions going on?
No, I'm not. I mean, I know that there's sometimes, in all honesty, you got to deal with the bureaucracy too.
Yeah, man.
I'm kind of like, I mean, just that Ryan Peterson left the year after I did the Tony Hendon role. Uh-huh. So, but it was a lot of fun too. It really, I mean, I told myself that it really got me to understand the acting method.
Yeah, for sure, man. So you seem to be like a pretty outgoing guy. Like, have you always done poetry? Like, have you always had an artistic side to you, or is this something that you
almost? I guess the people really who've inspired me are George Lucas.
Okay.
Because one of these days I would like to come up with a film. Hopefully, I could add to my title, screenwriter, director, producer.
Uh-huh.
I like to call it Star Attack.
Star Attack.
I got characters like Chad Atomsky. It's spelled A-T-O-M, the last name right now, S-K-Y, so.
Nice, man. So do you spend a lot of time, like, writing and stuff, like poems and, like, stuff like that? Like,
I do. I tell you the truth, my poem style is formal. What I mean by that is that every line rhymes, too, and I like to get creative, and it does take a lot of effort just to get creative with just being yourself and then just always want to go that extra mile and I feel great that I could rhyme with certain, it's just like I could say Sean or John or something like that. So
is it something you're comfortable with? Like are you the kind of guy that can go to like a poetry reading and do your poems that way, or is it more of a private thing for you?
No, it's more public. I guess the only thing private about me is I like my stogie or get a glass of lemonade or a beer.
Well, hit us with one, man. Let's hear, have a poem, man. Like, set us the mood a little bit before you read it. What's this one? Like, when did you write it, and what were you feeling, man?
All right. Well, my first poem I'm going to entitle The Cigar, and I would like to explain this really briefly
to you,
make it short and sweet and make sense out of it, is that I find topics, and then it's like, just like Edgar Allan Poe had poems like The Raven.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking of, like, I call it just The Cigar, and that's the title. If I'm writing about, like, a skeleton, I would write, that would be the title of the poem.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at least that, but then also, my certain style is probably unique because that I like to, might, just like it could, like skeleton could be like the first word in the poem, but it's also the last word in the poem too. So just to make it relevant and relative,
okay.
And just me just feeling the vibe too. So.
All right, man. Well, this is cigar.
Okay, called the cigar. The cigar, which is the first line of the poem.
Okay.
That is good while driving the car.
Okay.
It's big and thick. This ain't a trick. It's a good smoke. It's nice to have while telling a joke. There are good to get in a store. Takes away the bore. They have a taste in your own bar. So I'll just light up a cigar.
Hell, I like yeah. It, man. It's
beginning
good stuff,
to
man.
End. You should sell that to Marlboro.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's beautiful, man. It's poetry.
King Edward.
It's promoting the lifestyle. You a big cigar smoker, man? You like
I
a lot?
I am. I'm a stogie guy. I guess going to KU really made me the stogie guy because that, I guess sometimes, that I don't know, maybe I'm just, maybe Milton Berle and George Burns aren't around anymore, but I guess I smoked that cigar letting them know that, hey, your comedy still lives today, so I'm
keeping
still
that
passing
legacy.
The dollar. So
now, do you catch any shit from people in your personal life? Because cigars, man, they pack some smell, man. Like if you're smoking a lot of cigars,
yeah. Well, I
did people give you shit for it, man?
Sometimes, but sometimes I would be asked, like, "Why are you smoking that smelly thing?" For I say, "It's not smelly."
What's your favorite kind, man?
Well, right now it's punch, but. Sometimes I have to admit that I may look like a really tough guy, but I'm really defensive. I'm not really obnoxious.
Okay.
I'm very tender. I'm more tender than tough. So it's just that sometimes it's just like anybody else. It's just that you want to be that special person to a woman, but it's okay to be just slightly macho around your buddies, your male
yeah,
best
yeah,
friends, right?
Right? Play the part. You
that's
know.
Right. You gotta
play the course you're on.
Nothing says that like a good stogie.
A good stogie. You just chew on them, ever, man. You don't lie to just sit there and chew on it.
No, I sometimes I just like to put them in my mouth, but I lie to them too. So, in fact, that I kind of admit that I've heard conversations that. George Burns would smoke four like good sized ones a day, and for me, I'm about a cigar or two a day. So
okay, nothing crazy.
Did you inhale?
No, maybe slightly.
Yeah,
do you inhale the thing? Not really, because that makes you. I inhaled a Swisher Sweet like a pussy cigar the other day, and it made me sick.
Oh, dude, it's like
I
a
was
whole
just
pack.
Like, oh, I feel
it's like a whole
bad
at the same time.
Yeah. I guess that's I kind of admit that. I like the strong stuff, but I told myself, well, that or like strong material too. That's what it is too. It's like it doesn't matter if it could be. I guess because they're awfully. I know. Admit that the stogie's a lot stronger than a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what CS common sense wise, right?
Yeah.
And it's just that I guess because that sometimes it's almost like just liking the strong stuff, but I also accept that there's just. Nothing like the other gender, too, right? Yeah,
right,
so to
right.
Really put you in your shoes, right? Yeah,
right? Yeah, man, for sure. In studio, Kevin Hoskinson's reading. He's giving us his poetry. What do you guys think? What's your band name again? I'll write it down this time, dude. They have six band names. It's hard to...
Pestilence. In the flesh.
Pause upon an excess.
Flesh.
Or fleshes.
Pestilence in the flesh, in studio. Hanging out, Kevin Hoskinson. This is another poem, man. Don Cole here missed the first one.
Go ahead and read it again, I guess. Sure. So,
she can catch it. Well, she listens to the show. She'll listen to it on the playlist.
Oh,
what you got? What's your next one about, man?
All right, my next one. I typed these up. I also got them written in a dear book that my Aunt Sally gave me.
Okay.
So I figured I'm just going to use it anyways too, right?
Right.
In fact, since this one's. A deer poem, in fact, I'm titling it beer, so
okay,
I figured that, well, that...
And you like the brewskis. I see
I
you out at
yeah.
The bars, and you like to have some beer and stuff.
Yeah, just something comfortable, something that, and I kind of admit that just like with the stogie, it's almost like sometimes I kind of like something strong. It's like, how can I push manhood?
Mm-hmm.
Can it go beyond its boundaries? Maybe that's what I'm getting the vibe from, too, right? Yeah,
right,
so.
Right. So what's this next poem, man?
It's called Beer. Just like my last poem, like the cigar. The cigar was the first word. It's also the title of it. Just like, I guess it's something, maybe I'm pushing the envelope with the Edgar Allan Poe stuff too, right?
Hey, man, do you, man. If you're going to copy, copy from the best.
Well, I'd like to say, I mean, I respect your opinion, just that I like to say that I'm trying to take it a different direction than Edgar Allan Poe did. So
yeah, okay.
Maybe I got more of the comedy, too, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
He's more of the
he's
drama.
Dark.
Stuff.
He's a little
he's very dark. That's true.
And okay. Plus, originality is just not citing your sources.
Exactly, right?
That's true, yeah. So just like the cigar poem was definitely another poem that was very... not only was it sincere, but it was original, too. Right, yeah. So this one's titled Beer. Beer, a drink that's so sincere. As long as you're 21, just to enjoy the fun. They're great to have in a bottle and clink without having to blink. There won't be any wit as long as you know your limit. No need to swear. It should be 5 o'clock somewhere. You've already conquered your fear. Adults, go have a beer.
All right, man. All right, man. I'm liking the style, dude.
That should be a public service announcement.
Yeah, good. These could be good songs, man. These could be song lyrics.
That's true. Oh, I also, another thing, too, is that I might get so creative talking about, like when I said, like pushing the envelope kind of style or groundbreaking stuff. Maybe I'll invent something that new to write, but it's kind of hard to do it without the technology, too, right? So it's like, but still just using the internet, too, but then still try to paraphrase. I'm trying to think of what direction can I take this?
Yeah.
It's like, can I sing When Doves Cry by Prince in a different way, too? So, in fact, right now that I might, if I was ever in the process of buying myself an electric piano, and then I'd put some music together too. I've written a couple of songs too, so maybe for one time I didn't bring them with me, but they're on their way of getting finalized too. So I will do admit that my style, maybe just anybody's style of a poet, is that some people think it's a bunch of baloney or nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't see it poetry that way.
You don't.
And I'm kind of like, well, if it's going to make it to Pulitzer Prize, so be it, right?
Right. Yeah,
so.
Now, Kevin, you're also a really good singer. Like, we did one of those karaoke nights, the live band karaoke nights. What song did you sing with us?
It was Just What I Needed by the Cars, yes. So
you killed it.
Yeah, and then it's like the night, because that at least the music was like, at least I got to challenge myself. It's like how well can you really get the tune down? It's like try not to be not too flat, not too sharp. And believe me, I've been both in choir too.
All right, man, let's get another poem, man. What do you got, man?
All right. Well, I kind of admit that the cigar and beer poem were typed up.
Okay.
And I will say that hopefully I got my book of poems right here.
That's a thick bastard, man. Is that thing pretty full? Or?
Yeah, I have gotten, my goal is to get to 366 poems. One poem each day for a leap year. So,
okay.
And so, and then it's like, well, then I got some just basic on the military, like a Navy SEAL, a Marine, even cake, 4th of July. So just trying to get that vibe down too. And then the only reason why 366 each day, not a day for a leap year, but I'm also thinking that how well can I push myself still about with that envelope still too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But still have a stanza. And I'm thinking that these poems should have, I should have some illustration with it too, but still.
I'm seeing a book, man. I'm seeing you take your poems, you slap it in a book or maybe a calendar.
I'm seeing a leap year calendar.
Yeah,
I'm doing a calendar style too. My friend Jeff Reese, who's right now he's overseas, but he just got out of the army about a couple years ago, and he suggested that I'm going to do a calendar too. So
okay. So let's pretend like tomorrow I go to my job. It's 8 in the morning. It's I'm all bummed out, and I gotta take the the next day off my calendar. What poem am I going to see in your calendar, man? Hit us with another poem, man. What are you going to do to brighten my day, my shitty day?
Ooh, well, I don't know if it's going to be that way there, buddy. So in fact,
I'm not saying you have to talk me off the ledge,
right.
You know, but fucking.
The good news is that we've also had, I mean, the nice thing is that thanks to Facebook, we've also have had some dear comments, and we've had, and I've been thankful that I've been keeping up with my contract and criteria. Right? Yeah, so, in fact, I thought of, I got one here on comedy, and so there,
okay.
And so just if I have to refresh the people out there on radio, internet radio right now, from bedroom radio, is that if I write a poem about comedy, then it begins with comedy too. So.
Okay.
So
it's a pattern in your work. I like it, man.
That's right, and it's still with each of them rhyme probably an 8 to 10 stanza.
It's a signature, but, you know. You can
that's
tell.
That's right. Just like
this is a Kevin Hoskinson piece right here.
That's right. In fact, I'm also one thing I was thinking about, just to make this really brief, is that I was also thinking of writing under a pen name. And I thought of my pen name because I was born in 77, the year that Elvis died. So I'm thinking of that. And I got to keep the K for Kevin, too. So I'm calling myself King.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking of that I got a creative last name. But I don't know if it's going to be able to pronounce it right. It almost sounds like the Michelin Tires, but I'm calling it Moshe, like King Moshe. So
how do you spell that?
If you mean the Moshe.
Uh-huh.
It's spelled capital M U O S E H. So
okay.
And even though it might, people will be like, "What is that? What is that? What is that?" And it might be like with Schwarzenegger. It's like, is that really pronounced right or what? Right? It's like with the actor Liev Schreiber. Is it Liev or is it Liev Schreiber? Yeah. No, it's Liev Schreiber.
Hey,
right?
They're paying attention to you now. You know, they're like trying to figure your name out. That's good. That's imprinting it in their brain, man.
Well,
it's a marketing move.
Well, one reason for the marketing move is because that. There's so many Kevins there. There's a Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
There's a Kevin Spacey. There's a Kevin McCarthy.
Kevin McAllister.
And that's true, too. They used to call me Kevin McAllister, to tell you the truth, when
really?
In my middle school days when Home Alone came.
You didn't have a babysitter that was like, hey, Kevin McAllister.
I got called that a lot. Well, you know, sometimes I guess because getting that vibe down of because my mom used to call me Kevin Hoskinson instead of Kevin James Hoskinson. And that's another one, too. Kevin James is out there, too. So,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, we're big guys, but I'm like, I was like, oh, my goodness, this is too much for me. No, I'm just kidding. But in a good way, too. Metaphorically, of course, too. Right
exactly,
so,
man.
And then just like my KU name and over the KU is called K Dog, and for K for Kevin. So, and one lady was asking, why do they call you K Dog? I was like, well, because my name, real name is Kevin. So, but I was like, I guess because I got a lot of that Irish blood too. I got a good mixture of it too, right? And then I'm kind of like, well, that. Anyways, I'm going to start with comedy right now.
This
too,
is comedy, Kevin Hoskinson.
Okay, comedy, which is funny. To watch something and have a smile, you want it to last for a while. To take away your pain, to still be sane. For something to have a beginning, to watch the good ending. Seeing a show with, with a sandwich of peanut butter and jelly, that is what makes a nice comedy. So,
okay.
Thank you. Yeah, just that. I mean, it's still that creative vibe right there too. It's still just getting like a certain style. It's like yeah, it'd be nice to have to enjoy ones like money and that sort of thing too. And then you know, for me is that the definitely a rush of a vibe, and it's like not just a vibe, but it's like. A temptation is like, oh my goodness, I'd go back to school at KU and I would study painting or music or piano or something like that too, right?
Yeah.
So
I can see this being published as a dictionary, Kevin's dictionary.
Kevin Hoskins.
Of what words really mean.
Yeah. Or it, maybe not just the dictionary, but my thesaurus. but I can understand where Noah's coming from too. So.
What did you go to school for, man? What were you studying?
I went to school for theater and film. just that, well, it was, I graduated from the community college here in GC, theater, and then I...
From here, you can go anywhere.
That's right. In fact, I became, like you say, I became a double major when I went to KU because I discovered that I want to do film, too. In fact, if there was TV, but TV is kind of a mixture of the theater and the film, so maybe, or commercials, I would have been a quadruple major, right?
Kevin, I was just thinking, like, I just followed you around from school to school. Like,
oh, my goodness.
Went to high school together.
That's right, yeah.
And then to GCCC.
That's right.
You were a year older, so
that's,
you went to KU.
Too, that's all right. I like it really.
Then I went
anyway.
To KU. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
That's
no.
Right. That's right.
Kevin, do you actually know that if you were going to school at GCCC now, you would not be able to enjoy those delicious cigars? They're trying to ban smoking.
No smoking. How do you know about that?
Oh, for me, I feel like that's just a drag. I'd do anything for a drag. Hey, yo.
Oh, fuck, man. You got to give a warning shot on those big ones, man.
That's right. Oh, just like from the movie Ghost, the guy that teaches Petri, the Sam Wheat character, about, oh, I'd do anything for a drag, just one drag. And that's another gift that I got, too, is that, it's like, oh, my goodness, I can start to, not only am I listening to conversations, but I make sense out of them, I understand, I can interpret some stuff, and then sometimes I'm telling myself, my words are now going to be interpreted, and that's just so sweet baby pie.
I'm excited, man. What else you got? Let's do another poem, man.
All right. In fact, I do admit that not only do I have a poem, but I definitely got some dear jokes, in fact, that I got a list of jokes, in fact, and later on in this program, my friends tell me I can do some impersonations, anything from a John Travolta to a Chris Farley. So,
hey man, that's why we're here, dude. Let's do one more poem, and then we'll get into some of your comedy.
We need some jokes.
Yes, in fact, I guess this is for an encore on the poem stuff.
Okay,
it's called Host. I used to be a host at Lone Star.
Okay.
You're talking about from 2007 to 2009, or 2007, 2009, right? Yeah, so.
The golden years of Lone Star.
That's true. When Lone Star was
bread.
Lone Star. Yeah, rolls. I tell you, man. Yeah, that's right. And Cinnabutter.
Cinnabutter. Yeah. Cinnabutter's the shit.
Okay, here's Host, since that was my job title. So,
okay.
Host, which doesn't make me appear as a ghost. Seating a customer. Afterwards being a busser, making a certain amount, appreciating the meal discount, checking tables from a list, not going into a mist, with compliments to post, it feels glad to be a host.
Do all of your poems, in fact, start with the first word and end with the last word?
They do. That's I could say that's my style.
How you do it, man?
It's no different than a high heel shoe having like a back of like a painted red or whatever, right? Yeah, so, for the ladies, right? Yeah, so the high heel shoes, right?
Yeah.
Do you take requests?
I can.
Would you mind if I recited one of your poems?
Oh, please go right ahead. If you, it doesn't matter which one you want, right there too, or if you like the book list,
just
right there.
Just pick one for me, man. I don't want you to.
Hand him one of the typed ones. Hand him one of the typed out ones.
Yeah, I will. If Noah, please could do this one right here. I know that he's dying to be 2-1 one of these days. No offense, there, buddy, right there.
All right, this is a poem by Kevin. It is, or what was it, K-Dog?
Kevin Hoskins. Or King Moosh, but that's okay, too. I can be called Kevin, too. It's like all the same. Anyways, right. I'm being local anyways there, too, right? It's like the local people already could tell my name anyways.
Beer. Didn't we just do this one?
We did.
Yeah, let's do another one. What else you got?
Even
that big one. That one's got a lot of words on it. What's that one under the top one you have there?
Oh, this cigar one?
Under that one. What's the one with all the words?
Oh, these are my jokes.
Oh, those are okay. Those are jokes.
Those are my jokes, right? So.
That's it.
Well, I want to do the joke.
Yeah, I don't mind doing beer.
Okay, we'll do beer again.
We'll do beer. Yeah, let's just getting somebody else's name, right?
Okay.
So.
All right, beer. A drink that's so sincere. As long as you're 21, just to enjoy the fun. They're great to have in a bottle and clink. Without having to blink, there won't be any wit. As long as you know your limit. No need to swear. It should be 5 o'clock somewhere. You've already conquered your fear. Adults, go have a beer.
And that's how you do a poem, right?
Yeah,
there.
That's how
it goes. What kind of comedy are you gonna? You got some jokes? And just have that jokes typed out like verbatim?
I do. In fact, well, just like I might do like something like this for a microphone.
Okay.
And I would ask like, is this thing on?
Okay.
But then I'd be like, I'm using a different approach this time too. Like you normally hear comedians or anybody on the microphone say, is this thing on? But I say, I must be speaking loud enough or you all would be covering your ears.
You're starting off strong, man. You got to get a laugh within the first 20 seconds, they say, you're toast.
That's right.
There you go.
So there you go, man. You're off to a good start.
Some people have heard this joke, but this is new for my debut for radio, internet radio.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that I wear contacts that makes me four eyes.
I heard you tell that at the bar the other night, dude, and I laughed.
In fact, now I got a nice thing for all you listeners out there. Now when I put my shades on, I'm six eyes. Two out of six of my eyes, or one third of my eyes, are now dark. and so it's like it's nice to have a joke, but I try to get the other people to laugh with it too, right? So,
right.
And then here comes another. Dear joke is that a guy with glasses decides to take them off and leave the glasses somewhere. The same guy is up on stage for an introduction of a band. The guy begins his introduction, says to the audience, I'm having trouble seeing you. Now here's the sweet part. Now I'd be asking, who wants to hear this in an Adam Sandler impersonation? So I'm sitting in the first few rows and I say, well, put your glasses on.
Nice.
Can I say the next one? I read it already.
Yeah.
I went down there. I was cheating. Can I say it? Okay.
That's
okay.
All right.
White people look like Indians by getting a sunburn.
see that you're gonna have to. You can't do that one in a family club, man. That's
well,
like,
well, only reason being.
A little blue.
Only reason being, I covered up that joke because of like the red man too.
Right, because.
Well, because technically, not just technically, but sometimes, well, personally, it doesn't take much for me to sunburn in the summertime when it gets so hot.
Yeah.
Yo.
I hate it being hot, man. I hate it. I like the winter, man.
Or like as long as I'm not feeling a burr.
Yeah.
And so that's why I do respect. At my heritage too.
Mm-hmm.
If I got Indian, hey, so be it. Right? Yeah. So, but it's all respect to the Indians too. Can't live without them, man.
Yeah,
so.
Man. They got this place ready for us.
Mm-hmm.
Warmed up the seat.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
So that one in. So it's like my four eyes joke.
Uh-huh.
When putting the shades on is like, well, that's my way of, it's like I probably got about 20 different like subjects.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm putting something on, just like my next joke will be like, I like it when a black person cooks me chicken. So does this make me an evil person?
No.
They're like, they could be comedy, but Facebook status.
That's just discerning taste right there.
You would kill on Twitter, man.
That's true.
You need to get yourself a Twitter
jam.
Account.
Yeah. So
are you on Twitter?
I kind of am, but I need to switch my password.
Yeah, you need to get on Twitter, man. Let's have a kill on Twitter.
And then this is part of the same subject. I like it when a Mexican makes me some tacos and burritos. So does this make me an evil person still?
you're hitting below the belt, man.
Mexican food in town. Nothing cooks Mexican food quite like
American. I mean, I'm a fan. I think it's good stuff, man. But are you nervous to do this material?
Well, Derek, my bad half is Mexican.
We don't like to talk about it.
I'm just showing that respect too.
Yeah.
I'm actually, in all honesty. I'm not, all my friends know, I'm not derogatory at all.
Yeah.
It's just that, I
have noticed you don't swear much.
I don't. It's like, oh, F-bomb, right.
Yeah.
I do admit that this coming December 14th specifically,
uh-huh.
I'll be an Eagle Scout for almost 18 years. Well,
really?
Impressive, man.
So,
good job. I didn't make it past, like, a tender scout.
So you
whatever.
Like you still go and like you still help out and everything or?
Well, I am planning on getting back into it. Yeah, so but at least just as a guy too. This is I told myself that as adults is that it's always just being cautious about these teenagers, but you got. I have to accept too. Hey, they're going through changes too. They're going through a lot.
Yeah, I mean it's a good program. I mean you can help. You can either be a really good person in some kid's life, or you can fuck them up. You gotta be careful, man.
That's why you don't want to make sure. And then there's a lot of this bureaucracy I'm dealing with too. It's like, I mean, I'm kind of like, well, which I disagree with is that if somebody's earned their Eagle Scout, they should be proud of that too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then even though I didn't mind shows like Are You Tougher Than a Boy Scout, but to me there's more than a Boy Scout than shooting some rifle and then, as well as tying your knots or using a compass, right? So
yeah.
See, Kevin, they kicked me out of Cub Scouts when
how dare they?
Last week.
Yeah,
they said, dude, you can't come and sit in the corner anymore.
Oh, really?
You gotta get out of the corner. You can't watch.
I did the Cub Scout thing. I don't know why I stopped. I think it's just one of the things, like, some people stay in it, some people don't. I always enjoyed, like, what it was about. Like, I'm a big pussy. Like, when I go camping, every camping trip, it's always fun until 4 a.m. when I'm cold and I'm laying on the ground. I'm just like, I just want to go home. Like, I never really make it through the night. I'll usually go sleep in the car.
Yeah.
But, like, I'd like to think, that I like the outdoors. You know, like, I like the idea. I don't know if I want to sleep out there.
It's like, anyone want to go camping?
Right? Yeah. Take a camper.
A bunch of other useful stuff. Like,
yeah.
Honestly,
that's
like,
true.
The
really
first
true.
Aid stuff, I saved someone's life just because of what I learned in scouting. I mean,
exactly,
it's
man.
Really
it's
that important.
It's a good thing
yeah,
for
you. I even saved, like, a black boy from drowning one time. That, see, if you want to talk about me being not derogatory, that's
right,
why I'm not
exactly.
derogatory either. Yeah. And I'm kind of like,
you'll save any color kid, right?
That's right. Who cares if they're turquoise or blue? Orange.
Especially if they're blue, you're gonna have to. You might be a little late.
If they're blue, you got there a little late.
Although I saw a kid was blue and he lived.
Yeah, well, I was just.
Now, do you find
there,
like
right,
you said that? Like, do you find like that? There's anybody out there that like doesn't respect their boys, an Eagle Scout or anything? Like, do you find like disrespect towards that? Or?
I have. Well, one person told me that. My Eagle Scout didn't mean the S-bomb. And people are going like, what, S-bomb? And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, it's like I know I hardly ever, well, every once in a while I've said a cuss was like, oh, S.
Now, is that a conscious, like, well, is that something did you used to have a foul mouth, or is it something you've always
I try to keep it with content, too.
Yeah.
Because that's, I mean, that's my thing, too, is that I wrote a screenplay or film script, Butch, which is about a man that born in an alley. He lives in an alley. It takes place in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay,
so.
I lived there for a little bit.
And then some people might think that I'm coming with somebody that looks like the Little Rascals, but I changed his approach a little bit. Butch is totally bald.
Okay.
Wears one of those golf caps and some worn out clothes, and he lives in an alley. So, and likes to play stickball too. So.
Okay, yeah, stickball.
But he's more. I consider myself libertarian.
Okay.
But he's more Democrat than I am.
You keep up with current events? Like, are you a political guy?
I am. But just like our President Obama said something interesting today, is that just don't take my word for it. And I'm like, I'm kind of like shocked. I'm wow, that about the health care stuff, Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, well, yeah, I want Affordable Care Act too. It's like, if I had. You know, lots of money. I'd rather give that to some, like, you know, health care benefit or life insurance. Yeah, so.
Do you know what they're voting on in the next couple of days?
Oh, yeah, I know a lot of it, too, is the shutdown, right? Yeah,
yeah,
so
the imminent shutdown, dude. And if they shut down the government, then I'm not going to get my financial aid until next May, and I'm pretty pissed.
That's no good, man.
And I don't know if there's any. Better with a conservative president or Republican president. Whoa, oh my gosh, dude, right,
dude.
If they shut down the government, we might actually get some shit done.
Dude,
it's like everybody just decides it's like, hey, well, yeah, we got
to
get this
done.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, that's a checkbook that's hard to. There's a lot of missing checks in that checkbook. the America's checkbook does not look good, man.
Outstanding checks.
It's no good, man.
My grandma's checkbook is like perfectly balanced. Everything is in nice, neat handwriting. I'm going to send her ass up to Capitol Hill.
Yeah, we need a president. Like everybody's like, the first black president, the first woman president. Fuck it, we need the first, like, grandma president.
We need the first grandma president.
I think we're
a grandma that's been on, like, a fixed income for 19 years. She's like, I make $972 a month work. Fuck you. Like, we can fix this, man.
As long as they're not saying, well, same to you. No, no, no.
Right?
I like, in fact, if you like to continue some more jokes, I got one about, I especially like it when a Vietnamese person fixes me some rice and noodles. So, am I really an evil person?
I'm noticing a pattern.
I like how you work in patterns, man.
In fact, my next joke is that a man says to a woman, you're nice. Does that mean he's talking about her?
Explain this
one,
man.
Well, I'll explain this one to you. Is that it's like says to a woman or talks about a woman.
Okay, okay.
Specifically. Maybe okay. That should be what or how to reward it, too.
I feel you.
Maybe that explains a lot better now, too, that about a woman. That means he's talking about
now,
her.
Now, have you done stand-up, or do you just write your jokes down right now?
I did a little stand-up at KU.
Okay.
I told some jokes about how that this guy named Ike was, I told him my name, you know, obviously Kevin. He mm-hmm. thought my name was Evan. I told him, you're wasted.
And that was just like a party? It wasn't on stage?
It was on a stage. It was at the KU, like the union, like ballroom. I think Sean definitely knows has got a vibe when I'm talking about the Kansas Union. Yeah, so.
Mm, yeah.
And then that... And
so you really like KU? You liked going to KU? It's a good experience.
Oh,
for
I
him.
Loved it. It was.
It's a good place.
I think Sean and I would go back there in a heartbeat.
how long did you live there? And go to
truth,
school?
I was there for like 5 years. I took a break off.
Okay.
I did my leave of absence, but I was like, yeah. But the only reason why I was doing that was to save some money to go back to finish education.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have a degree in everything? Like you finished it out?
I do. I got it on paper, theater.
So what do you do, man? Like,
Right now that. Every now and then when the weather's good, I work at Little Caesars as a shaker boy.
Okay, okay,
sign.
Okay.
And then right now that my job before going here today or tonight, a couple of hours ago, I finished my shift at as a door attendant at Goodwill. So, but
oh, okay.
And then it's like, well, then there's times you're kind of like, well, you have to like... It's like not quitting your day job. And that's what it's
oh,
true.
Yeah, man.
And that's
yeah.
true.
I work in a warehouse, man. I don't get paid to host radio shows.
Do you keep an eye out for really expensive brands? Some crazy shit.
You get first pick of like a lot of, you know, Goodwill's a good place, man.
It is. It's just because that, I get to see, I get to look at hand picked too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Get some deep
did they promote that? Like,
it's almost like making a sculpture. You get to touch your sculpture.
Yeah, right? Right. Do you guys get like first dibs? Like, can you go through and pick
stuff
to buy?
Oh, no, that's the bureaucracy you got
to
deal with.
You're not allowed to buy stuff there?
Yeah, with his financial assistance he was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The program is that, and I'm thinking that you know, it's too bad that you can't, but it's like now, it's like, well, if I was the manager, if I was upgrade management, that'd be a different story.
Right,
you
yeah.
understand that too, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a rat race, man. It's sometimes you find it, sometimes you have a boss that's, you know, he wasn't very cool in high school. He's just some guy that sucks.
He's
and he's
take
a boss
it out on you now.
Don't want it to sound like someone getting arrogant. No, no. So I mean, that's what's great about me about the program tonight is that it's like, oh my goodness, I can find out about some stuff I could really just talk about, and all of a sudden people are going to be like, oh, they're going to be laughing so hard. It's almost like I could feel and hear the laughter. Right?
Yeah. They're going to enjoy themselves, man. It's going to be a good time for sure.
In fact, here's a true story about my next coming joke is that when I was a toddler, I used a dry plunger as a microphone.
this is a true story, man.
It definitely. Well, let's just say the dry plunger. Well, just like a regular microphone too, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So, or like the Polk. I use that as a microphone. And
oh,
I
okay, okay.
Work out some stuff. Like think I was Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, or something like that.
It is like a little microphone stand.
It is. It is. It's good. So it's just getting creative like it is, too. Just like I heard about Picasso could take a bicycle seat and bicycle handlebars and turn them into a bull's head. I mean, that's just genius right there, right? So maybe that's my Picasso style right
there. Maybe, man. That's cool, man.
It's an interesting perspective for real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in fact, I know that somebody could say that when their dad is an art instructor, right, Dad? So
it's funny though, because like I've seen you at a lot of places. Like I've, you know, everybody in this room has seen you out. You know, everybody
knows who you are. That's true. It's just that,
but you wouldn't be able to tell like you're like an artistic kind of guy, like meeting you at the bar. No, I don't know like what I would have pegged you as, but like I never would have thought like this guy's like, you know, is into acting and writing and screenplays. And
that's right. And then hopefully would like to direct. In fact, that's what Butch, I'd like to direct it because I feel like it's my vision, not only my vision, but I know how to interpret the script too. So, which is nice too. So, and sometimes it's like I could be around some ladies and I'm just shutting my mouth, not even interrupting them. And I'm just listening. Right.
That in itself is punishment.
It might feel like punishment. Whoa!
Did you hang out with a lot of girls? Katie's got a lot of lovely ladies, right?
I did, even though I would admit that my opinion was that some of the ladies, I mean, they were dear people, too. So
yes, for sure.
Dearly would like to get to know you, too. But I'm kind of like, well, I would like to say that when I'm in a relationship, I like my food cooked in the oven, not in the microwave there, buddy, right there. So, because I like to, I mean, I don't care how long it takes. I just care that it tastes great. Yeah, so
yeah,
it's got
right.
flavor to it, right? Yeah, so.
Or you get the back of the hand.
Well, maybe not. I
guess there goes the punishment again.
Kevin Hawkinson in studio, reciting poetry, telling jokes. Having a good time.
Yeah, here I got another dear part of my joke is that a woman says to me, "You're handsome." I say to her, "My handsomeness comes from God."
a lot of your comedy deals with truth.
It does.
You're telling the truth, and I hear that if you're telling the truth in art, you never go
like
wrong.
It's almost like Wonder Woman's golden lasso. You're always going to get the truth like that. That's right. So it's, and then it's like, oh my goodness, that it's like way better than a polygraph, right? Yeah, so right. In my opinion too. So
cool, man. Well, do you have anything going on, man? Like, do you put any of this stuff on the internet?
I will one of these days. I figured I got to make this into a Kindle, right? Yeah,
right.
The white page.
Do you want people to add you on Facebook if they're listening to the show? Do you want some more Facebook
please.
Friends?
Yes,
Kevin
please.
Hoskinson. I'll share
that'd
him on Facebook
too. Because
if you have any questions for
live,
him,
it's like at least instead I'm on bedroom radio. I'm technically. Not on Howard Stern. Whoa.
If you're out
so I had
there,
to throw that in there. So
if you're out there listening and you want to be Kevin's friend, add him on Facebook. Send him a message. Say hi to him. He's a nice guy. He's got some good stuff. Maybe you can send him some poetry and shit.
A lady friend of mine. I admit I am an open-minded person, but this lady friend of mine was asking me, "You're going to tell some jokes," and that's what I promised. My lady friend, I tell some jokes
on the show tonight.
So, yeah, I did. Yeah, so and as well, and I'd say the poems earlier got some good laughs too, and that's what I respect about that too. It's like, feel like I never laughed so hard in my life.
Right.
So.
Good times, man. Well, do you want to for your lady friend? Let's have you do one more, read one more thing, and then we're gonna We're gonna go.
I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna say that this is impersonation time, and who wants?
Okay.
I'd be asking. Who wants to hear a John Travolta one?
I would love to hear some John Travolta.
Do it.
We just watched the hair. You know, I woke up my hand a long time, and you hit it. He hits my hair.
That's pretty good, man.
Spot
That's
on.
Pretty good.
And then I got other things he'd say, like, what am I doing with the surfboard in Brooklyn? I mean, I could have bought one of those ties that said Italian Power on it. And then I'd be looking at a guy saying, that guy sees some Italian in me. Whoa.
Oh, man, that's good, man. That's
and
good.
So, I will do last two impersonations. This one's Austin Powers.
Okay, okay.
Anyone up for an Austin Powers one? It's like, oh, thank God. You know, I cannot believe Vanessa, my bride, my one true love, who was just a fembot all along, wait a moment, that means I'm single again. Oh, behave. So if I break up with a woman, I always think of Austin Powers.
Okay. That's the go-to flick when you reach for it.
That's right. I told myself that, well, if it doesn't work, I'm like, oh, I'm single again.
Single, yeah, man.
And then here's to an incredible comedian named Chris Farley. And so, and I'd be saying that if I was at the bar, and then I tell people, so lift up our glasses to Chris Farley, just like the Bill Bratsky in the SNL, right? So, and so one night I had this Chris Farley moment. My iPod's earphones hit me in the left eye, and I was getting the feeling that this is going to leave a mark. We used to say, like, ow, boy, oh, something's going to leave a mark. So, and so, in fact, that Chris was a part of a skit in SNL rooting for the Bears. So these are for the people of GC Senior High. And this is Chris Farley rooting for the GC Bus. Stop Bus, Stop Bus, Stop Bus, Stop Bus, Stop Bus, Stop Bus, Stop Bus. Instead of the Bears, the Bears, the Bears, the Bears, the Bears.
I like that. That's cool.
And then, and last but not least, this is the encore of my jokes, or at least that for tonight anyway, is that... Hi, this is the Chris Farley Show. I got my guest here, Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels, do you remember that part in Something Wild when Melanie Griffith handcuffed you to the bed and you had to make that phone call? Yeah, what about it? It was awesome. Oh, my gosh, I'm an idiot. And so, or like, oh, my God. And then I do respect Chris Farley.
Yeah.
He's been such inspiration to me. And I would like to say out there, Chris Farley, you are an incredible smart comedian. Yes. So we could lift up the beers and say to Chris Farley.
Farley.
I actually added a Facebook page yesterday. It was like a Chris Farley tribute page. Yeah, that was awesome, man. Sucked. Died too young. Well, Kevin Hoskinson, man, thank you for coming over and sharing your stuff with us, man.
You're very welcome.
Takes a brave man to come bear his art to people that he doesn't know.
No, that's all right. Well, I told him, well, I'm getting it out too.
right, there you go, awesome. Man.
And then it's like people have seen me around too, and then it's just like, and then maybe one of these days that I'll, with my star attacks, sci-fi film I'd like to come up with,
mm-hmm.
and then but I told myself that the biggest challenge I have is with the creative process, and is like trying to, can I make sense out of and also have the people interpret that, well, this is, and I'm kind of like, yeah, it's gonna kind of, it'll be sci-fi, but as well as a kid's film too, but I told myself, well, that's what Star Wars was to begin with anyways too, right? Just maybe I'll come up with the may justice guide you instead of may the force be with you.
you just need your tagline, man. Well, I appreciate coming on the show, man.
Thank you.
You're going to have to come on again. I don't think we can fit Kevin Hoskinson in one episode.
That's all right. That's what I know. This is tough there too. It's like, I feel like a one-man show, buddy.
Yeah, man. I believe it, man. Well, thanks for coming out. This is the best, Thursday Night Brainstorm. We'll be right back after these words.
I'll be the end if you're pure. I'll be the race if you're disgusting. Don't drink from it.
My fucking head.
Welcome back to the broadcast. What up, Sean? Heck of a show, man.
Dude, that was a silly, crazy train wreck. Awesome time.
Yeah, dude, it was good times, man. We had a persistence in the pestilence in the flesh.
In the flesh.
In studio, hanging out, Kevin Hoskinson. Did I see something with this fucking calendar with this kid, man? I think Kevin needs to have. If you're out there and you're an artist, you draw. Contact us or contact Kevin and let's get a calendar.
I'm thinking Morgan Freeman needs to read all of his poetry.
He definitely needs somebody to read it. It would be better to, you know, fucking have like somebody with a definite voice to read these. We could spice them up a little bit. It'd be a good audio calendar too, man. Has that been done yet? Does who have like audio calendars?
Like something that just like an app on your phone
every morning. It's like, hello, it's Saturday.
Just instead August of your alarm, 14th. Just goes, hey,
yeah.
What's going on? Beer.
Hey, fellas.
And they just start going
wake
in.
Up, rising, and you can play some, like, noises that slowly get, I don't know, man. I hate waking up. I'm going to have to wake up. I've been tired, man. This new job's fucking me up, man. Like, I don't sleep. I've been sleeping, like, 5-6 hours a night, and I was sleeping a lot more than that before this job started, dude.
Right.
But I like it. I don't hate
work.
It. Yeah, dude. I don't hate the job.
Yeah, you just got to get into the flow of things.
Into the flow. Heavy flow.
Fun yeah, show. I found that, you know, whenever I'm working, I get 5-6 hours, and that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if my mind and my body are active, then I just wake up thinking about what the fuck I'm going to do for that day. I'm up, so I might as well just start doing it.
Sexually active. I think I have pink eye, man.
Really?
Well, I have these contacts, the new contacts they put in, and I only have the one pair, and I'm poor until, like, the next paycheck.
You just stick them up your butt first?
No, but, like, I only have that one pair they give you when you try them on and until my next paycheck, which is, like, 2 weeks from now, to where I can order contacts. So I just kept using the same ones for, like, 2 or 3 weeks, and I noticed, like, on the side of my eye right here, like, a few days ago, it was kind of getting red. And today I was driving to work, and I, like, looked at my eye, and it was just bloody. Like, not even shitty looking. So I just took the contacts out mid-drive and threw them out the window, dude, because I knew that I couldn't put them in my eyes anymore. And I went and fashioned these glasses. They're a busted pair of glasses, and I used super glue and made, like, they're pretty good right now, as long as, you know, you don't get too rowdy with them, dude. They're holding up. I might not even need to order glasses now.
I saw you go to catch a Frisbee once, and those glasses just disintegrated.
Yeah, because the left side is, like, busted, so the lens would just fall out. But now it's holding strong, dude. So and you don't have your glasses. Like, how are you driving? You're going to drive to Scott tonight?
No. I'm going to stay here tonight. But honestly, with my glasses, like, I don't need them
really?
All the time. Like, it says on my license that I need him to drive, but I can, it's just to the point, like, where I can't really read what the street sign says until I'm right up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I can't see if there's somebody crossing the road.
Yeah.
So
see, I can, mine's pretty bad, like, I'm pretty blind. I can see, like, it would be a fuzzy object. I couldn't tell you if it was male, female, or what color they were. But I would know somebody was walking out into the street. But it's pretty bad. Like, the main thing to me is, like, it's just like that fuzzy off feeling, dude. I'm just like, whenever I don't have my glasses on, it kind of gives me a headache. And second of all, just like, I just don't feel normal, dude. I feel like off.
I used to feel really weird when I first got glasses, which was only like 3 years ago. Like, I never had glasses before then. So when I got glasses, I had that feeling that you have glasses on. When before that, the only time I had that feeling is when I had sunglasses on. And when you have sunglasses on, it's fine to stare at tits. Well,
yes.
When I started getting, like, real glasses and women could see through them to where my eyes were looking, I would still revert back to that immediate thought that I had sunglasses on and I could look anywhere I want. So I got caught, like, 4 or 5 times before I had to train my brain that's like, yeah, they can see where you're looking, dumb fuck.
Right?
I got straight busted.
Was it like a hot chick?
Oh yeah,
was she hot?
She was hot.
Was she hot?
They all are, hey, dude.
Speaking of seeing a hot chick, dude.
I hang out with chicks way too hot for me to really hang out with.
Garden City, Gauntlet, Obstacle, 5K, dude. Devin Adair Fort is going.
Devin Adair Fort could kill that right now. He is in
is he
peak
doing
condition.
That? Is he like
know.
Being healthy?
Well, he's been healthier than.
Like
I
never thought he was like unhealthy, but like I didn't take him as a guy that's gonna do a 5K. He's not fat or anything.
I think he's just gonna be there.
He's just gonna fucking.
He's like
chill.
He's gonna sit there at the finish line with his beer and his cigarette.
It's the southeast parking lot of the Finney County Expo Center, just off Main Street, North 9th. It's the second annual Garden City Gauntlet Obstacle 5K run along the Arkansas Riverbed. Fuck that, dude. They're going to run in sand?
Dude, they run in sand and mud, and then they climb over things and climb and crawl under things.
Jeez, man.
It's a whole obstacle course bullshit.
57 people so far are going, and you can extrapolate that. Like, at least double, because I've known from throwing shows, like, the people that say they're going on Facebook usually get about double that, like, because a lot of people are like, oh, cool, they'll see it, but they don't want to. I've noticed that Facebook sucks anymore, like, on a phone. Like, you can't even do anything anymore. Like, you click on one thing, it takes, like, 10 minutes to get there, so I don't even really get on Facebook on my phone anymore, dude. It's just bullshit. But, then you try to like a page on their thing or, you know, say you're going to go to something, you have to click it, like, 30 times. Maybe it's just my phone. Maybe it's destroyed from looking at horrible things. Do you have trouble on Facebook, man?
Not a lot.
You're pretty good on there. You can get mine's bad, dude.
I do most of my Facebook on phone.
I'll
sit there with my computer on my lap and look at Facebook on my phone.
And that's how you do that.
It's bad habits.
Eastern Kansas Friends, Saturday, October 5th, 2013. Mime Game is doing an EP release show at the Czar Bar with Rev Gusto and Rosedale. Mime Games, they're a heck of a talent. They got their new EP coming out. We interviewed them last week. They're recorded in California. Sounds good. If you're in Kansas City area and you're a listener to the show, check it out. Czar Bar.
Yeah, do it upright. Actually,
have you heard of Czar Bar? Have you been there?
Yeah, I've heard of it. It kind of got popular after I moved.
Really?
But tell you about a couple bands that we played with in Dodge this
that
past
was a
weekend.
Heck of, and I forgot to promote
Dude,
that show, and I felt like
awesome
an asshole.
Show.
It was probably a lot of people there, right?
It was a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like, it certainly wasn't packed
mm-hmm.
at all, but there was probably 60, 70 people there. Wasn't bad.
It ain't bad.
But now we played with these guys, the Plug Uglies, who, like, reminded me of the first band that I was in. Like, they did ska punk. Like, just straight out of the fucking mid to late 90s. It was a gorgeous thing. And then Tone Meister, after that, they were pretty solid. They got real fucking drunk, which is a lot of fun. And then, let's see. Well, before that, Guns on Mars did an acoustic set, which was, it's always a fucking good time. Then we played, and then after that, the Bad Boy Yardies were on.
Okay,
and
they
sound better and better.
Really?
All the time, yeah, for sure. They're getting
They
getting
haven't been
southy.
Podcasting. I don't know what's going on with that, but yeah, they...
I don't know. Maybe they just don't tell us
about
it. I love
their show. I don't know.
They have a really good show.
When I first saw he was doing a show, I was like, oh, okay. But then, you know, because I was like, oh, I do that. But then I listened to it, I was like, oh, it's better than mine. It's pretty fucking good.
the first one I listened to, like, was when they called the hooker service. Oh my god! And found like a super nice gay pimp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude was just insanely nice for a gay pimp.
He's a good guy. Well, they fucking made. That's the thing.
And they turned it into like a 30-minute phone call.
Bit,
it was
dude,
fucking
they
brilliant.
But the thing that like I felt bad for the hooker, but not really that bad because they're a hooker. But like they had the hooker go all the way to like the hotel door they were claiming to be at.
Yeah.
I was just like, Jesus.
And then at the end, like. They're like, we're sorry, we're not there, we're a radio station. And they're like, so you're real pissed, right? And the guy's like, eh, we were going next door anyway.
We had
fine.
To go over to the
you know,
to the Winn-Dixie to get a goddamn. We were going to the Winn-Dixie to get some paper towels. That's no big, no harm, no foul. I thought they were going to fucking.
They took it amazingly
but I mean,
well.
You can't really fucking threaten them. It's like they were selling an illegal service anyway. It's one of those things that's just like, ah, fuck it, you didn't go to jail. Didn't go to jail. Fucking, yeah, I wanted to go to that garden show, but I mean that Dodge show, but I was broke. But I knew it was going to be a good one, man, because damn it.
Yeah, it was a real good show.
Yeah, this was a real good show. It was a success, dude. And I'd like to thank you for being a part of it, bud.
Well, sir, it's always a pleasure.
And we'll give a big shout-out to Pestilence in the Flesh. Alex and Noah were here, first hour. Kevin Hoskinson, be on the lookout for his calendar. We're going to try to make happen, because that's just... going to work out. It's going to be a good time.
I'm getting goosebumps and giggles.
And next week we should have a good guest. Well, let's aim for a good guest next week, man. This week I liked that was the first time we've had like live guests in the new studio.
Yeah.
Like we've had the mics for a while now, but I'm always like nervous.
Well, no, we had Grandpa's cough medicine.
Yeah, I guess so. We should do that more often, though. It's fun. It's a lot different. The phone interview is going to get a little droney.
I don't like the phone interview.
No. I mean, I think we could take the random call every once more where they say, like, a blah, 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 and then we put them on mute.
Yeah.
But, yeah, unless it's, like, an interview or something. But, yeah, I've graduated from the phone interview. Not
I like
very
the people
intimate.
Right in here. There's enough funny, interesting people right in our own community.
Yeah, dude. It was a good time. All right. Well, I'm Derek Relevant.
I'm Sean Collins.
And this is the Thursday Night Brainstorm. We'll see you next week. Take it easy.
The Derek Relevant podcast featuring Sean Collins is recorded in Garden City, Kansas. Leave the show a voicemail, 919-807-1259. Email the show at DerekRelevant@gmail.com. Bedroom Radio. Mediocrity at its best.